been refined by the power of his name. We're falling deeper in love with you. You've burned this truth in our land. Songs again of our God who reigns on high. By his grace again we'll fly. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all.
St. Patrick was born, not in Ireland, but in Britain, around AD 35. Well, actually, he wasn't called St. Patrick at the time, or even Patrick, but was referred to as Maelwyn Sukkot. Good thing he changed his name later. St. Maelwyn's Day just doesn't have the same ring. We'll stick with Patrick, just in case I'm slaughtering that pronunciation. Patrick was quite far from being a saint growing up. Until he was 16, he considered himself a pagan, or maybe even an atheist by today's definition. It was at that age when he was taken into slavery by a group of Irish marauders that attacked his village. Patrick was sold to his master, a Druid chief in Ireland, and served him for 6 years. It was during his captivity that he became a Christian. One day he heard what he described as a voice compelling him in his sleep to leave his master and find a ship that awaited him. He fled to the coast of Ireland and eventually made it back to his home. He then decided to study in the monastery and stayed there for 12 years, during which he decided that his calling was to convert the pagans to Christianity. Eventually, he adopted his Christian name, Patricius, or Patrick as we now know it, and returned to Ireland after being appointed a bishop. Patrick was very successful at winning converts, which upset the Celtic Druids, who had him arrested several times, but he managed to escape each arrest. Patrick traveled through Ireland, establishing monasteries, schools, and churches throughout the land. Eventually, Patrick returned to where he had once been a slave, to pay his ransom to his former master. Despite being treated cruelly, Patrick didn't hold a grudge against him. As Patrick approached his master's old homestead, to his horror, he saw that it was in flames. Patrick found out that the stories people told about him had preceded him, and in a fit of frenzy, his old master gathered all of his treasures into his mansion, set them on fire, and then threw himself into the flames. An ancient record adds that his pride could not endure the thought of being vanquished by his former slave. There are a lot of legends surrounding St. Patrick. Some say that he raised people from the dead. Others say that he drove snakes out of Ireland, but since there aren't any fossil records of snakes in Ireland at that time, it's highly unlikely, unless he drove out the fossils as well. Many think that snakes was a metaphor for the conversion of the pagans, meaning that he drove paganism out from Ireland. Green wasn't the original color associated with St. Patrick, it was first blue, and eventually changed for various reasons. Probably because of being used in various Irish flags and how green is associated with Ireland itself. Patrick worked in Ireland for 30 years. Afterwards, he retired and then died on March 17th, in AD 461. There wasn't a canonization process when Patrick died. That didn't come up until the 12th century. He would have been declared a saint by acclamation, and his sainthood approved by a local bishop soon after he died. St. Patrick's Day was originally a Catholic holiday, and still is, but has also evolved into a secular holiday, being celebrated by non-Irish, non-Catholics, and ironically enough, even atheists. Today, when people think of St. Patrick, they imagine a leprechaun in a green jacket, hat, pipe, clover, and a pot of gold. Not a man who devoted 30 years of his life to teaching and helping the Irish. Hopefully you now know a little more about the history of St. Patrick.
Just can't. choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So long to my hopes, burden and bitterness. You can't just keep it moving. No, you ain't welcome here. So it's really before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. In almighty fortress, you go before.
Hey, good so far, right? They're awesome. Okay, at this time, we're going to go ahead and let our kids, the little ones, not old ones like us, but to go to our Haven kids, and everybody around you say, hey, good to see you and get close to people we don't even know. God bless. Elementary is staying in here, though. Elementary is staying in here.
Ha ha ha! Just a reminder that the ladies' interest in the September conference, if you have interest in the September conference, please just stay after church. Welcome back, Sarah. It's great to have you back to church. prayers to Patty. To pray for her friend, that's going through chemo. We want to uplift her. To also pray for Holly, for her mom and dad. Also, congratulations to Jordan and James for getting engaged. We also want to pray to Lisa Bailey and uplift her mom for healing. We also want to pray for Crystal Forrester, Richie and Richie's father. His dad is being taken off the ventilator. Also want to pray for Bernie and her sister Darlene for peace. Also want to pray for me for my friend's brother who's suffering from a stroke. They're going to figure out what caused it. And also want to pray healing for Dale Ross, Jeannie McGraw, Liz Ashby, Kathy Shea, Brittany Curlett, and Keith Powers. Yeah, I think so.
All right, now we're going to pray. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us all here together for the youth-led sermon, for us to not only be a group, but be a family. We take all these prayers, we take them out of our hands and put them into yours because you know what to do with them. We really don't. And in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. How's everyone doing today?
Good.
What?
Good.
A little better. Still kind of bad, but... I do have it written down here that I was doing pretty great, but I had to get up around 7. So, not really. Now, some of you guys may know me already, but for those of you who don't, I'm the son of Haven Community Church's pastor, Jack Cohen, which can we have a round of applause for him because he's just awesome. The applause isn't done yet, though, because I would like to have a round of applause for Miss Jen, the youth leader for all this. Now, last year around the same time, I did a sermon about prayer. But this year, I decided that I'm going to change it up a bit. I'm going to give a testimony about my walk with God and just my experiences with Him in life. But before any of that, I would like to speak about my experience with Breakaway. Breakaway was such a fun experience. We sung, we hung out, we laughed, we cried, and it was a great time for a youth group to be a family. And I even met Jesus. And I'm not going to be the only one who's going to come up and share something. We have some people who want to come up, and Abigail.
First off, Judah invited me to talk about Breakaway, and at first, my initial thought was, no, I am not talking up on stage, but I ended up doing it, and hopefully it wasn't a mistake. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." You might be asking, why is she reading a Bible verse about friendship? I thought this was about Breakaway. That's exactly why I read a Bible verse about friendship. Breakaway is not all about the food, the music, not having to do any schoolwork for a whole weekend and then cramming for a test you forgot was on Monday. Breakaway is about the memories and the bonds that grow stronger. The end of the verse says, "There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Many of you have at least one person who you think, wow, they kind of annoy me. But then there's also this friend who is there for you and you think, wow, I really wish I could spend so much more time with them. because they make you happy. And for once, you forget how bad that 1 week was. You forget about your laundry list of to-dos, and you forget about how overwhelmed and burnt out you actually are. You want to know why? Because that is one of your people. I had a talk with my mom, and I asked her, who are your people? And I expected her to say her two very, very best friends that we end up hanging out with every week, but that wasn't the case. Instead, she said the names of people who gave her hope, made her laugh, made her forget all about her worries. For me, my people, that's my youth group. When I first came to youth group, I was in fifth grade. I only came on big trips, and at that time, a big trip was to the YMCA. I only knew my cousins, who were kind of embarrassed that I would cling to their sides, but I had no one else. When I would hang out with my cousins, sometimes Judah would be there. I still remember how we grew closer. Jeremy, Judah, and I were jumping on the trampoline, and Jeremy left to go get water. Judah needed someone to talk to because he was going through one of the worst times. It was one of the first times we had a full-on conversation, and I listened to him. I remember our deep conversation like it was only a few days ago. Judah and I were then friends. Judah now has a girlfriend, Bella, and her and I are really good friends, and it's only been a couple weeks. Soon later, I met Jocelyn and Lila. I remember growing close to them at my first breakaway, the breakaway where we learned about relationships with Bob Smiley and his crockpot microwave theory, the breakaway where we stood right next to the stage and lost our voices, the breakaway where if you asked us for a picture of us back then, we wore fuse, scream, and run. But most importantly, the breakaway where I met my best friends. We've had our ups and downs, but we are closer than ever. I don't know what I would do without them. Every Sunday, I look forward to seeing them because I know they will brighten up my day. I don't really remember meeting Craig. We just became friends. Our moms were pretty close, and it was just normal to hang out. He's pretty busy with baseball and his girlfriend now, but I enjoyed the memories that were made and the memories to come, especially at events like Breakaway. Breakaway is also pretty much where I met Logan and Dylan, too. I remember my first thoughts of them were, Jocelyn has pretty annoying brothers, because I didn't formally know them, though after a while, they became my annoying brothers, too. One of my favorite memories with them was when we had to get boxes for Operation Christmas Child. We went to the dollar store and felt pretty stupid, looking at plastic containers, picking them up, finding a good one, and then realizing that it didn't have enough lids. We left the dollar store with a bin that was never paid for, and I freaked out. They laughed at me, with me, and it's been a joke ever since. Maddie and Issa are also part of youth group, but come less frequently. I grew closer to Maddie at my second breakaway, and she was one of the most interesting people I've ever met. She would climb into bed, make her cocoon, making weird noises and laughing uncontrollably, and then the next morning she would do her makeup and style her clothes like getting ready for a beauty pageant. I've always found Issa to be pretty similar. She likes to talk about her issues with men and sing with such a beautiful voice. And for the people I don't know very well, Leander, Anton, Eli, and Katie, I hope to get to know you better and continue to build this Haven family. Now, Dylan, Logan, and Anton are supposed to leave in the summer, so this is their last breakaway. I wanted to take some of my time up here to use it to honor our seniors of youth group. Anton joined late last year and made the whole group laugh with his witty remarks, especially towards his brother Eli. While Dylan enjoyed fishing, he also enjoyed going into women's clothing stores with us girls. We walked into a store once and one of the clerks says, "Welcome, ladies," and Dylan proceeded to strut around the store looking at hot pink high heels and lavender dresses. Logan, being one of the most entertaining people I know, was also caring. Miss Jen had us all go outside and do this one experiment with popping capsules. I jumped so hard, and Logan held me and assured I was okay. All three of these guys had such an impact on the youth group, and we will miss them. Sometimes. But what's the point of all this, besides embarrassing all my friends? Friendship. All of these people are my people, and I love them so much. Even in my darkest times, when I had no one to talk to, they were always there. And when I bawl my eyes out at Breakaway, they don't leave me. So Breakaway is about friendship. Breakaway is about the bonds that grow stronger. Breakaway is Proverbs. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
All right, that was great. All right, now we're going to have Jocelyn come up and read about Breakaway.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jocelyn. I'm 13 years old, and I've been to 3 Breakaways so far. I'm going to talk about Breakaway and what we did there, because Abby kind of talked about more about the youth group, so I'm just going to explain what we did over the weekend. First of all, my first Breakaway was cool, it was fun, it was a great experience, but my second Breakaway changed my life. I gave my life to Jesus on March 4th, 2023, right there in the Ocean City Conference Center. I remember that night like it was yesterday. My third Breakaway this year was everything I've been dreaming of for the past year and more. Breakaway is my favorite weekend of the year, and I love telling people about that. I told this one girl in my class, and she was like, really? Not even Christmas or your birthday? And I was like, first of all, Christmas is a season, and my birthday is a whole month, so Breakaway is my favorite weekend of the year. But yeah, there's nothing like being in a room packed with people who love Jesus as much as you do for 3 days. The speakers this year were amazing. I loved hearing their stories, and I love how open they are. Something that really spoke to me this year was the music. I always sit in the front section with my girls, and there's something that's just, it's just different about sitting up there during worship especially. I remember on Saturday night, I was in the front row in the center with Lila, and I think God came on, and I bawled my eyes out, because it's just, that song means a lot to me. Battle Belongs also came on, and so did other songs that have just been big parts of my life, and that just really meant a lot to me. For the youth group, however, on Saturday night, we always go into a circle after the conference and cry and hold hands and pray and hug and just talk about what we've learned over the weekend. And after that, we go back to the hotel and we shower and we get into our pajamas, and then the girls go into the boys' room and we just have a little party. And this year, we did do the whip and nae-nae at 3 a.m. and a lot of other line dances, but the whip and nae-nae was my favorite because we don't actually know how to do it, so we made it up. But that's just something I love to be able to do with my youth group. And I look forward to Sundays every week because I love being with the people I love. And I just love you guys so much. And you're like my family.
The congregation and show them the love of Christ. Shout out to the youth group leading the song.
Party.
The late night party and the Saturday night huddle in the corner.
Nice. I love the songs.
the song?
The late night party and spending time with friends.
I'm too tired right now.
I don't know, being up in the hotel and being obnoxiously loud, and then Sweet Caroline coming on and us getting burned, we won't get kicked out. It was very, very late. When did we go to bed, Judah?
Like, probably like
4:45, 5 o'clock.
Rapping.
The rapping, yeah, from Demir?
Yeah. I even have his autograph.
Oh, yeah? Now you can't wash your hand anymore.
Of course I will never. When I get to hang out with my friends and listen to the great music.
The dance party in the room at 4 in the morning. So that I couldn't sleep.
Going to sleep?
I didn't have nothing. I don't know. It's totally good.
It's all good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does the hotel count?
Sure.
I mean, last night we had a party. That was fun.
That was such an amazing weekend, especially the late night party. It seems to be a theme. All right. Before I begin my sermon, and just tell you a little bit about myself, to do so, I need to tell you about a book of the Bible. Who here knows the book of Job? Well, for those of you who don't, you're in luck, because I have a brief summary right here. The book of Job tells the story of a man named Job who faces severe trials and tribulations. Despite being a righteous and blameless man, Job experiences the loss of his wealth, his children, and his health. Throughout his suffering, Job questions why he is experiencing such hardships and seeks answers from God. His friends offer various explanations, suggesting that his suffering is a result of sin, even as going as far as to blame him. I don't know about you guys, but if my friends started blaming me for losing people, they're not my friends anymore. Just saying. However, Job maintains his faith in God and demands a hearing before God. In the end, God speaks to Job, revealing his sovereignty and wisdom. Sovereignty means supreme power or authority. Job humbly accepts God's authority, and he gains a deeper understanding of God's greatness and purposes beyond our knowledge. The book concludes with God restoring Job's fortunes and blessing him with even greater prosperity than before. Now, you may be wondering, Judah, why'd you tell us a summary about the book of Job? Well, it's because for this next part, I feel like I relate to Job in a lot of ways. And now, as I introduce myself, here are some things to note. I am pretty much just like an average teenager. I play video games, I read comic books, I have a job, and I go to school. And other than my job, life has always been a constant for me. And for the first 13 years or so of my life, life was pretty much smooth sailing up until November of 2020. Now, for some of you, you may know this, but in November of 2020 is when I experienced the first of many losses of people I loved, this one being my grandmother. I never truly understood the importance of Christ until the loss of my grandmother. Even though I was born into a Christ-loving family with a pastor for a dad, I just never truly connected with God until that moment when I first experienced loss. And even then, I didn't really understand how important God was. And for those of you who didn't know, my grandfather also was a pastor. With the loss of my grandmother, it felt like a good opportunity to talk with him and get to know him more because he had 80 years of life experience. Because who wouldn't love to talk to someone his age about his life and what he went through and his experiences with God? But my biggest regret still to this day is never speaking with him about God. Because in March of 2021, 4 months after my grandmother, he passed away and went to heaven along with her. And if I'm being honest, this one hit me a lot harder. Because although I talked to my grandmother a lot, she was very outspoken and I knew her personality and how she was. But my grandfather was different. I never really talked to him, and because of that, it felt like I didn't really know him until his final days. But I know he was strong with the Lord and was a very godly man. Truthfully, I don't know why I never spoke to him about God. But something I wish I could do is just sit down and talk to him one more time. Throughout this, my entire family was hurt. And throughout all of that, there was someone who was so close to our family that would never leave and would always stick by our side. His name was Danny Pilkington. Danny was my dad's best friend, and to an extent, our entire family's best friend. He was so close with us. Not a day passed where we didn't see him. And throughout every hardship our family dealt with, he was there. And I'm speaking about him in the past tense because, as some of you may know, in October of 2021, Danny passed away from a combination of COVID-19 and pneumonia. Out of all of the losses I dealt with, this one still hurts. Every day. With my grandparents, that was expected due to their age and health, but Danny was only in his early 60s. Danny was a very amazing man, and I'm grateful every day God gave a friend to our family. But he wasn't just a friend. He was family. This was one of the worst things that had happened to our family yet. Me and my siblings lost a grunkle, which means grandpa, uncle. My mom and dad lost a brother. But even though the earth lost a great man, the most important part is that heaven gained one because Danny had a strong faith in God. I still think about my grandparents and Danny every day, and I miss them so much. But if I could bring them back, I wouldn't, because I know they're doing way better than any of us right now. With loss out of the way, it felt like I was starting to heal. And throughout 2022, it was smooth sailing. I was still really hurt and not truly understanding loss. But going into 2023, I was confident that it was going to be a good year. I was wrong. In 2023, halfway through the year, unlike Job, instead of my physical health declining, it was my mental health. Everything hit me all at once. I never understood loss. I never understood why any of the bad things that happened to me and my family happened. And I never understood why I was feeling so unbearably depressed. I had friends who I thought would stick with me until I die go and completely break my trust and abandon me. And I know many often wonder, what does a teen like me have to be depressed about? But because of everything, my mental health got to the point where, in all honesty, I didn't want to live anymore. Time and time again, it felt like everything was just being hurled at me at once. And because of everything I went through, I didn't want to get out of bed anymore. I didn't want to do anything with my life, and I just wanted it to end. But seeing as I'm standing up here right now telling you this, you know that I didn't give in. And the reason why is because I remembered a verse in the Bible that is still my favorite verse to this day. Romans 8:18. Romans 8:18 states, "What we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us." Because I had this verse in the time I needed it most, I knew it wasn't my time. And this verse was correct. Over the past few months alone, my life has been looking up a lot, and I've seen the miracles that God can do firsthand. And this leads me to the theme of the message. God was, God is, and God always will be with you. This leads me to my first point. God was. In Joshua 1:5, it says, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." However, there is another verse from Joshua that also goes along well with this. In Joshua 1:9, it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." God was with me through everything I've been through. He was with me for the loss of my grandparents. He was there through the loss of Danny. He was there when my mental health was declining. And he was there for me during the darkest point of my life. But he was there when I got out of it. Amen. This verse also leads well into my next point. God is with me now as I'm standing up here, speaking to all of you. And I know that because if he wasn't, I would not have the courage to be up here telling you all of this. In Isaiah 41:10, it states, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And this leads me to my third and final point. God always will be with me. In Deuteronomy 31:8, it says, "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." I know no matter what happens, as long as I stay faithful and trust in God and believe in him, he will never turn his back on me and will always be with me in my future. And I know God was, God is, and God will be with all of you too if you turn to him and accept him. Because until you turn to him, he will always be waiting for you to do so. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Even though I know that God always is going to be with me, I still fear for my future. But you know who else feared for their future? Joseph in the book of Genesis. Joseph was a young man who was sold into slavery by his brothers. I imagine every day he was afraid for his future, fearing what was coming next. But we all know what eventually happened to him. Eventually, he became second in power in Egypt, living a life filled with prosperity and God, better than his old life. And God will still do the same in our lives today. But as I wind down today, I want to end it with something my grandfather said at the end of one of his sermons. "I do not know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future, and I know who holds my hand."
anyway. At this time, the worship team's going to come back up and get ready to sing. But I want to give a prayer because we're also going to receive our offering. And I just want to, we love to show you that what you give, this is what it goes to. Here and around the world, in Haiti and other things, we just constantly pour it out for God's love. As I always say every week, I usually say it in prayer, you know, visitors, we expect you to just receive. We just believe God provides, and we're so glad that you guys are here today supporting them, but also celebrating the Lord. And so before I go ahead and pray, I do want to remind you of two announcements that weren't given. We have our Good Friday service. Right there it is, Good Friday, on Friday, March 29th at 7 p.m. It's one of people's favorite, so if you've never been to it, I challenge you to come. We'll have a great time there. And then we have two options for Easter Sunday. One is at 8:15, and one is at 10:15. And so we'd love you to just invite somebody. You have a little card in there. Take that little card, give it to somebody. Pick them up, tell them which time's best, and come on out, all right? So let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you for everything that the youth have shared here today. And God, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is not dead in this world, but is alive in each of these individuals and so many others. So we give you praise, Lord, for all that you do. We ask for your blessing to be upon your tithe and our offerings, that God, you further it and multiply it to use in the ministry of your kingdom, not just here, but all around the world. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody says amen. All right, everyone. They did an incredible job, right? I see some proud parents, but there's nobody prouder than a proud mama like Jen over there. Look at her. Anyway. All right. Before we go, I just want to touch on something briefly. Many of you may have received an email that a now former member of our church is going through a rough time. We had some issues, we've taken care of our end of things. And Haven was always named for a reason. God gave me the name Haven to be a safe place where people come to worship, and we always err to that and make sure that always happens and always will. And so we just give God thanks that we can have an environment where we're here and have young people who are just serving God in an amazing way. So we just wanted to tell you that. If you have any other questions, you can see Jim Forsman or also Keith Edwards. They'd be glad to talk to you about anything specific. But God bless. Have a great week. Next week, we'll be back. And next week, also remember, it is the money for the in the little soup things for Miriam's table. I started to say the bread banks. I'm sorry. I would have it die hard. And then no coincidence, we're going through the things that happened in the last week of Jesus and Holy Week. And next week, we're going to be talking about the Last Supper and talk. It's going to be called Table Talk. Didn't plan it. God did. So love to see you back next week. God bless. Have a great week.